WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Monday, January 16th, 2017. It is MLK Day. That's right, the time of the year in which we remember a man who made a profound impact when it comes to this nation looking at everyone through a lens of equality. So we'll chat about MLK and what he means to this great nation. And our current sports question of the day is, what comes to mind when you think of the great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? We'll be taking your calls throughout this entire hour. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And in MLK's honor, we will invite to our show Kelsey Horn, who is the president of Black Student Alliance here at Michigan State University. BSA, like they do every year, is putting together a plethora of programs centered on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Kelsey will give us a rundown of those events and talk about what MLK means to her. And, of course, we will recap what took place in the sporting weekend. We will have a full recap of the NFL playoff picture, the conference championships, the divisional round is a wrap now, and the conference championships will, of course, come up this weekend. Who are still dancing in the NFL playoffs? I can tell you one team that's not. We'll get to that. We'll also chat about the MSU men's and women's basketball teams. Both Tom Izzo and Susie Merchant aren't too thrilled about the outcomes of what took place on the hardwood in respect to their Spartans. We'll chat about that. And on the back end of the show, we will talk about the state of Michigan State University hockey, which has not won a game dating back to November of last year. Got a feel for Tom Onassis and company, and we will have weekend winners and losers. That and more, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with the Michigan State men's basketball team, which lost on the road to the Ohio State Buckeyes 72-67, the final yesterday. It was the first Big Ten win for Ohio State, the second for Michigan State, the second loss, I should say, for Michigan State, which now sits at 4-2 in the conference. Miles Bridges paced Michigan State with 24 points on 9 of 12 shooting. He was 4-for-5 beyond the arc. Nick Ward had 9 points. Josh Langford added 8. Michigan State will play Indiana on the road on Saturday. The Michigan State women's basketball team had its 2-game win streak halted with a 62-58 loss to Rutgers at the Rack Saturday afternoon. Rutgers scored the final 5 points of the game to seal the 62-58 dub. The Scarlet Knights outscored Michigan State 21-13 in the final 10 minutes of the game, including 15-2 over the final 5 minutes. Once again, Torrey Jankowska, senior guard, led the Spartans with 20 points, 6 boards, 7 assists. The Spartans conclude the 2-game road trip on Tuesday against Northwestern. That's a 9 p.m. tip time. That game will be televised on the Big Ten Network. 2 incoming Michigan State basketball recruits will be playing in this year's high school McDonald's All-Star Game. For the boys from LaPorte, Indiana, La Lumiere's Jaren Jackson Jr. was selected, the 6'10", 255-pounder, with the game similar to Miami Heat star Chris Bosh. who committed to Michigan State back in September. He's the son of former NBA forward Jaren Jackson and WNBA Players Association official Terry Carmichael Jackson. Jackson's La Lumiere team is the best in the nation, according to USA Today, and is currently undefeated. For the girls from Wisconsin, St. Joseph Catholic Sydney Cooks is on the team and committed to Michigan State University as well. The 6'4" ranked and the number 5 overall prospect by ESPN Hoop Girls committed to the Spartans back in November. So Sydney Cooks and Jaren Jackson Jr., two players who will be donning the green and white very soon, will be playing in this year's McDonald's All-Star Game. Congratulations to those two players. The woes of the Michigan State hockey team continued this past weekend. The Spartans fell in both games against the number 4 team in the nation, Penn State, on Friday and Saturday night. The Spartans play a two-game series against Michigan next weekend, starting with a 6:30 p.m. game Friday at Yost Arena in Ann Arbor and closing with a 7 p.m. contest on Saturday at Munn Arena. The teams have already played one game this season. In the Great Lakes Invitational third-place game, the Spartans rallied from a 4-1 deficit with 3 goals in the third period to tie it 4-4, but eventually lost in overtime 5-4, the final of that matchup in favor of the Maize and Blue. After next weekend, Michigan State is off January 27th to the 28th. Tobias Harris scored 23 points and hit a decisive three-pointer with 30.5 seconds left to play, and the Detroit Pistons ended a three-game skid with a 102-97 victory over the L.A. Lakers last night. Marcus Morris scored 23 points, and Andre Drummond had 15 points, 17 boards for the Pistons, who wrapped up their longest trip of the season by beating the Lakers at Staples Center for the first time in 7 tries, dating back to November 14th, 2008. Yes, that is the last time the Pistons have won at the Staples Center. Now, on Saturday, Tom Gorris, owner of the Detroit Pistons, had a 3-hour meeting with head coach Stan Van Gundy. The owner and coach both emerged with excitement about the Pistons' future despite that poor 6-week stretch since early December. The Pistons will host the Atlanta Hawks. Yeah, I'm already in NFL playoff mode, Isaac. I'm still in NFL playoff mode. The Atlanta Hawks on Wednesday, not the Falcons. That will be a beatdown. All right, the Detroit Red Wings scored three third period goals, to defeat the Pittsburgh Penguins 6-3 at the Joe on Saturday. Detroit, which sits at 18-19-6, ended a three-game losing streak. Jared Carew made 28 saves. Pittsburgh, which sits at 26-11-5, led 2-0 and 3-2 before losing its third straight in regulation for the first time since losing 4 straight from December 14th to the 18th back in 2015. The Red Wings will now host the Montreal Canadiens today at 3 p.m. The divisional round of the NFL playoffs is in the books, and this is how it turned out this weekend. On Saturday, the Atlanta Falcons topped the Seattle Seahawks 36-20. Later that evening, the New England Patriots handled the Houston Texans 34-16. On Sunday, my Dallas Cowboys became the first road playoff team, the first home playoff team to lose, as Aaron Rodgers showed why he's one of the greatest ever. 34-31 the final, as the Packers beat America's team on a Mason Crosby field goal as time expired. Later that night, though, on a much lighter note, former Michigan State running back great Le'Veon Bell and the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Kansas City Chiefs 18-16. Bell actually set a postseason record for the most rushing yards in a player's first two playoff games with 337. He had 167 last week, 170 yesterday against a good Kansas City Chiefs defense. Bell carried the ball 30 times. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in to be a part of our airwaves, we are taking your calls all the way up until we hit 2 p.m. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I am sure there are many of our listeners out there that want to rub that Dallas Cowboys loss in my face, as some of you are already doing via Facebook Live. And again, you can weigh in like some of you are already doing via FacebookLive.com. At Facebook Live, you can do so by going to Facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR_sports. So as you can see, we have a ton to get to, so little time. Let's stop wasting it. Let's start the show.
Vicious racist, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification. One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. Dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is a faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
I have a dream.
One day.
welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and happy Martin Luther King Day. Every year, when this day comes around and I listen to that speech, I get goosebumps. My goodness. It's a day which we reflect on the life and legacy that MLK left behind, one that we are still admiring here in 2017, and one that has a bit of a different mood here in 2017, when, at least for me, and I'm sure for many of you out there, when you put in perspective what is taking place in 2016 with some of the, many of the icons, cultural icons that we lost. And of course, the big elephant in the room, what took place in this this past election. I know many of you are having many thoughts as you reflect on the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And our current sports question of the day, like we customarily do each and every MLK day, is we pose to you, what exactly comes to mind when you think of the life of MLK? I want to know what he means to your life. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Before pushing it along and diving into less important matters when it comes to sports talk, when I hear the name Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I can't help but think of just one word. One word really stands out amongst many words, I should say. That being equality. MLK was a man who believed in everyone, no matter what your religious background was, no matter what the color of your skin was, no matter what your age was, everyone being treated fairly, being treated equally, no matter what. And that is something that he fought for time and time again. He had many enemies, but he is a man who stood up in the face of adversity and fought for what is right. Very rarely here in 2017 do we have leaders like that of Martin Luther King. There are some out there, but it's so rare, so rare. And, you know, I tell this story every year. I am one of the few who can actually call MLK my brother, truly, because MLK actually pledged the great Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated when he was in college, the same fraternity that I pledged when I was in college as a freshman here at Michigan State University. So as we speak, there are many events that are taking place at the Union here on MSU's campus. And one of those events, my fraternity, AFIA, has a direct involvement in which one of our fraternity brothers gives a speech, not the I Have a Dream speech, but we give a speech every year. We lead a march from the Union to Belmont Tower, where the MLK speech is then recited. So as we pay homage and sort of remember the countless protests and marches that MLK led. And again, we're going to divert a bit from sports talk later on this hour. In about 10 minutes or so, we are going to invite Kelsey Horn to the show, who is the president of Black Student Alliance here at Michigan State University. She's going to tell us more about the events taking place at the MSU Union. So before I move on, Isaac, and before we dive into the NFL playoffs here, I want to know what comes to your mind when you think of the life and legacy that was and is MLK.
You know, I think you hit the word right on the nail just by saying equality. Obviously, that's the ding, 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 Jeopardy go-to answer. But at the same time, the word that comes to mind for me is humanity. Because what Martin Luther King did, and it was the same with Nelson Mandela in South Africa, and I just find it amazingly graceful, but at the same time, so forgiving, sympathetic, empathetic, just being able to see the lens of all people, being able to understand that for all the division, for all of the social stratification right now and back then and whenever it might have been, there's still so many similarities within mankind, within just the human race. And that's what Martin Luther King saw, is that despite this great oppression that he and all Black Americans faced back in the day, he did not harbor any hatred, any resentment. He showed the difference that a person and a general feeling of welcomeness and acceptance can make. It's amazing how he just tapped into that of so many people. So on this day, I think it's important to look back and see how far we've came, but at the same time, look forward, give ourselves a pat on the back, but say, you know what? We're only on base two or three. We got another, you know, lap to run, if you will.
Yeah, we still got a long way to go, but we have come a long way for sure. Very well said, Isaac. I want to know what you think when you think of the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. All right. Well, you know, I woke up this morning with a bit down. You know, I'm a guy, anybody who knows me knows that I am jolly. I'm thankful for every day that I wake up, and I wake up with just energy and ready to start the day. But I must say, you know, when I pulled the covers off and got out my bed, I was a bit down. Based on, and you all know, those who have listened to the show for quite some time, you guys know that I am one of the biggest Dallas Cowboy fans you will ever meet in your life. And, of course, the Cowboys fell in the NFL playoffs to Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Right now, I want to give just a recap of what took place in the NFL playoff weekend, because it was a fun weekend to sit back, relax, and watch some football. But for me, after that Packers and Cowboys game, I got to be honest with you all. After that game, and I'm sitting there, I got my Cowboy hat on. And, you know, this is one of the rare times where I can talk about being a fan here on our airwaves, because, again, I am a reporter. But I don't cover the Dallas Cowboys. It's not my job to cover, you know, Dak Prescott and company. So I can be a fan, and I can embrace that fandom tenfold here on our airwaves. So I'm sitting there with my Dallas Cowboys hat on, and I'm amped. I mean, those who follow me on Snapchat, you guys saw that after the Dallas Cowboys tied that game up at 28-all in the fourth quarter, converting on that two-point conversion, Dak Prescott taking it himself and crossing that goal line, I lost my mind. I probably annoyed my neighbors at my apartment complex. I was so amped. But Aaron Rodgers, in the 26 years that I have been here on planet Earth, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback that I've ever seen with my own two eyes. He is that good. What a game. For football fans, you don't even have to be a fan of the Green Bay Packers or the Dallas Cowboys to appreciate what you saw from both of those teams last night at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. And what amazes me about Aaron Rodgers is that he was able to do what he did last night. I mean, over 300 yards passing. He was able to do that without Jordy Nelson, who was out with a rib injury, one of his prime targets. He was still able to torch my Dallas Cowboys secondary. Aaron Rodgers completed he completed passes to six different targets last night. He relied heavily on his athletic tight end and Jared Cook. And Cook made the play of the year for the Green Bay Packers last night. Now, again, I was talking with our very own Brad Walker just literally minutes before we took the airwaves today. And I want to double check on this. Maybe, Isaac, you can double check on this. But Brad told me that Aaron Rodgers, on that last play that put the Packers in position to win the game for Sidney Crosby to kick that field goal and to seal the deal for the Green Bay Packers, what happened to Detroit Packers? My mind is everywhere. See, I'm so bamboozled right now, Isaac. When it comes to the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers actually drew that play up himself in the huddle. Like, that wasn't something that was called on the sidelines. Aaron Rodgers was in the huddle, and I guess there's a camera angle that shows Aaron using his hand to dialogue plays and telling his receivers where to go. Aaron Rodgers drew that play up himself. I don't know how true that is, but if it's true, that just adds to the legend that is number 12. Gosh, I mean, but Cook made the play of the contest when he snagged Rodgers' final pass along the sideline. He drug his feet before falling to his knees. It was a 36-yard reception, which will go down in Green Bay Packers' lore. And then Crosby comes out. Of course, Jason Garrett calls a timeout during the initial kick, and then Crosby just resets and kicks it through the uprights on the left hash. Game over. Gosh. And I'm sitting there watching it, and there's really nothing you can say as a fan of the Dallas Cowboys. There's nothing I can say. I mean, that is just one of those plays, one of those moments where you just say, heck of a game. Hats off to the Green Bay Packers because they earned that one. And I want to give a lot of credit to my Dallas Cowboys in that game because, you know, especially Dak Prescott, because the Cowboys trailing the Green Bay Packers in that game 28-13 going into the fourth quarter, an 18-point deficit. Prescott orchestrates a phenomenal comeback. Phenomenal. I couldn't believe that the Cowboys stormed back to tie that game. You know, during the final frame in that fourth quarter, Prescott 10-14, two touchdown tosses. And more importantly, this is what really stood out to me about Dak. I mean, we're talking about a rookie quarterback here on football's grandest stage, the NFL playoffs. Prescott didn't awe him. You know what I mean? The bright lights didn't cause him to get nervous and sort of not rise to the occasion. In fact, the exact opposite happened. He didn't shrink on the brightest stage. 302 passing yards, three touchdowns. Rodgers actually told the Dallas Morning News after that game, quote, "The guy is outstanding. He had a phenomenal year. The Cowboys have a very bright future with Dak Prescott." So I'm excited about the future for my team, but man, oh man, Aaron Rodgers is absolutely phenomenal. And I can't wait to watch the matchup between the Packers and the Atlanta Falcons this upcoming weekend because you have two of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the game. Two Hall of Famers, if you ask me, and Matt Ryan and Aaron Rodgers that are going to go at it on the gridiron. So hats off. Yeah, I soaked a bit. You know, it's crazy because my phone immediately, and I knew it was going to happen, my phone immediately blew up with messages, with tweets, with Snapchats, with Instagram messages. I mean, heck, I'm pretty sure a bird probably flew to my apartment complex with a little note from some Cowboys hater out there that knows I'm a Cowboys fan. I mean, you guys have no idea how much my phone blew up. I had 5 missed calls. I had 7 Snapchat messages, and I counted these too. I had 15 text messages. And then I didn't even go about counting the countless Facebook messages from here to Pluto. So you guys gave it to me, and all I could do was just man up. And I asked for it. Yeah, I asked for it, okay? I mean, even on my Facebook page, I posted. Probably this was a low blow. You know, but who cares? That's sports, right? I actually posted a green and yellow, a green and yellow trash can. And I said, oh, look, the Packers got a new stadium with a retractable roof. Yeah, I went there. You know, I talk trash. That's what I do. All right? So I asked for it. All right? When the Cowboys lost, I knew that I was going to get it heavy. But I am alive. I am happy. And I'm excited about the future of my team. But man, oh, man, what a game. Also, before we hit our first break, I want to give mad props to the Pittsburgh Steelers and former Michigan State running back Le'Veon Bell. The former second-round pick carried the ball, as I stated in the headliners, 30 times for 170 yards. That's insane, right? So insane that, as I stated, Le'Veon Bell set a postseason record for the most rushing yards in a player's first 2 playoff games. If you add up the 170 he had last night and combine that with the 167 that he had last week, That's 337 yards in Le'Veon Bell's first two games in the playoffs. Absolutely remarkable. Stunning. And I couldn't believe early on in that game, you know, looking in again, I admit this. I couldn't stand to watch any more football last night after my Cowboys went out. I actually turned off my television and actually started watching a church sermon like I do every Sunday. But I really needed to man upstairs after that game. So I just wanted to get away from football, and I just looked at the highlights after it was said and done. And I couldn't believe it. Early on in that game, when the Steelers were on the goal line, they didn't give it to their workhorse, Le'Veon Bell, to punch it in for a touchdown. And I think as the game went on, they realized, all right, we have to just work Le'Veon Bell. And that's evident when looking at the 30 times that he carried the football last night. The Pittsburgh Steelers are on a complete roll. They have won 9 games in a row now. And I would be remiss if I did not mention that Pittsburgh Steelers defense getting pressure in the backfield. In particular, I want to give a big shout-out to Bud Dupree. He was fantastic last night, finally beginning to live up to the expectations of being a former first-round draft pick. Dupree has been showing up for the steel curtain, if you will, time and time again. He was fantastic. Actually, he's been so good, so dynamic, since the start of December, with 5 sacks and 9 quarterback harries. That's according to Pro Football Focus, by the way. Bud Dupree has been great. That entire front has been fantastic for the Steelers, and it is going to be fun to see how far the Steelers can go as the playoffs move along. Now, I must say this. Antonio Brown, what in the world were you thinking last night? Isaac, did you hear what happened?
I actually did not, no.
Antonio Brown decided to hop on social media during Mike Tomlin's post-game speech. He decided to go on Facebook Live, and you hear Mike Tomlin, you know, sort of saying, because, you know, they play, who else? The New England Patriots this upcoming weekend. Mike, you know, so Antonio Brown decides to go on his cell phone, go on Facebook Live, and is streaming Mike Tomlin's post-game speech without the knowledge of Mike Tomlin, knowing that Antonio Brown is streaming that content, and Mike is just going off. There's a few expletives here and there. Exactly. There's a lot of that, you know, if you look at the censored version of that post-game speech, Isaac. And, you know, Mike is saying, hey, man, we gave these beeps a day more, to prepare for us. You know, we're going to get back at 4 in the morning. We got to prep, but that's our story. And then you can hear, you know what's so ironic, though, because at the end of that speech, I mean, before the Facebook feed cuts out, you can hear Mike Tomlin say, be smart on social media, and then it goes out. How ironic. And then you can even hear Ben Roethlisberger, quarterback of the Steelers, saying, yeah, let's be smart. We don't need to be on social media. Stay focused. How ironic is that, right? Come on, man. Come on. I'm rooting for Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers, though. They are a really good team. But I'm still picking the New England Patriots to go to the Super Bowl. Let's just keep it real right now, all right? Let's hear our first break. When we come back, and of course, in light of this being MLK Day and reflecting on the life and legacy that is Dr. King, we will invite to the show Kelsey Horn, president of Black Student Alliance here at MSU. She is going to talk about the countless events that are taking place right here on campus, honoring the life and legacy that is MLK. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just finished up a very brief chat on what took place this past weekend in the NFL playoffs. Again, quick recap. Falcons over Seahawks. The Patriots over the Texans. The Packers over the Cowboys. Who cares about that, right? And the Steelers over the Chiefs. Isaac, I want to just give you, before we get to our guest for today's Current Sports, I want to give you a chance to weigh in on what took place in the NFL playoff weekend, a fun slate of games. Also, but before, but just really briefly, I want to give credit to the Houston Texans, though, because I thought that the Houston Texans made that a game. A lot of people thought if the Houston Texans were just going to get blown out of the water. Now, 34-16, yeah, the final score does not tell the entire story of that game. The Pats only had a four-point lead at halftime, and I will honestly say this. I mean, a lot of people think that, okay, they just stormed away in the second half, more so the fourth quarter than anything. I thought throughout the first three stanzas of that game, the Texans were very competitive. That was impressive. But takeaways from the NFL playoff weekend.
Yeah, first of all, I've got to say kudos to Le'Veon Bell, just like you. Unbelievable. I can't remember the last time we've seen a running back do this in the playoffs, let alone in today's pass-dominated era. To have a quarterback like Big Ben Roethlisberger and still rely so heavily on your running back, that's incredible. But I got to say, I say this hesitantly because I give all the props in the world to your Dallas Cowboys. I said it on my Twitter account, and I'll say it again. They've got a young secondary, which was actually very impressive yesterday. Mm-hmm. I mean, they picked off a pass. They had another that could have been interception if not for a piece of acute refereeing. And all of them are young. All of them have tons of potential. Offensively, of course, Ezekiel Elliott is so much more than the offensive line. That spin move that he put on Clay Matthews was blinding.
Right.
I could not see after that play.
Yeah.
Then Dak Prescott as well outdueled Aaron Rodgers, arguably, until that final pass. So the Cowboys have a bright future. With all that being said, I called it. I did say Packers
did.
By three.
Yeah, and you did.
Sure enough. So I've got to give myself some credit there. And then finally, I like the call to put the Falcons. I love the play calling of the Atlanta Falcons against that Seattle defense. You don't play hesitantly. You don't play scared when you're going against a good defense. You attack them. And that's exactly what the Falcons did. I saw them two times this year. I just chalked up the offensive contributions to that of a poor Saints defense because I saw the two games where those two faced off. It's so much more than that. Matty Ice is for real.
He is for real. And that's what makes this matchup this weekend even more intriguing. I mean, you got two of the best quarterbacks in NFL history going at it in the NFL playoffs. I mean, that's a football lover's dream at the end of the day. Again, you can weigh in 517-355. WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin, WKAR. Quick comments here from David Arlo, one of our dedicated listeners. David says, Al, I'm glad you're alive, LOL. I thought you'd be in therapy. And I actually responded to David over the break. And I told David that I'm heading to therapy as soon as the show ends. So I have so many comments filled with Cowboys hate that I won't bother sparing here on our airwaves. If you want to check it out, just simply go to facebook.com/currentsports. So, yeah, it's going to be a long week for me. I'm still getting over this. All right. Well, let's divert away from sports talk for a second. It is MLK Day. One of my favorite days of the year because we get to reflect on a man who made such a profound impact here in America. As we stated to start the show, you know, we've come so far as a nation when it comes to equal rights here in America. We still got a long way to go, but MLK is a reminder of how far we've gone. And it's an amazing day because there are so many programs and events taking place in the Lansing area, specifically here on the campus of Michigan State University. And right now, I want to invite someone who has had a firsthand in organizing MLK events for the campus to enjoy here at Michigan State University. And right now we have on line one, the president of Black Student Alliance here at Michigan State, Kelsey Horn. Kelsey, first off, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, thank you. I'm doing great today. How are you?
We are fantastic, and thank you for taking some time this afternoon. I know you're so busy because those events, I assume, are still taking place at the Michigan State Union. Is that right?
Yes, they're still taking place here. We have some service learning projects going on, as well as some great presentations from student leaders on campus. and we will conclude with a march and a dinner later on today.
Oh, that sounds so great. Now, that's probably my favorite out of the annual events that is put on here on campus for MLK Day. So first off, Kelsey, I want to start this off with a very broad question because it's our current sports question of the day. What does Martin Luther King Jr. mean to you?
What does Martin Luther King Jr. mean to me? Well, he was a man who left a great legacy for us. On MLK Day, it's a day for me to really reflect and make sure I'm doing what I can to make a change and fulfilling his legacy. He stood not only for the African-American community, but for all marginalized communities. And he wanted equality. He wanted equity. He wanted for us to be a progressive nation and so that we could build together, we could live together, and that we could help each other to live in a more prosperous nation.
Kelsey, very well said. And you being a student here at Michigan State, first off, what year are you here at Michigan State?
I'm a senior graduating this May.
Wow, that's crazy, right? Time flies in college. College days swiftly pass, as we say in AFIA. And I want to know, you know, for our listeners out there that don't know what Black Student Alliance is, what is this organization all about here on campus?
Well, Black Student Alliance was founded in 1954. Our founder was actually a very close friend of Martin Luther King, fun fact. But what we do is we advocate for Black students here on campus. We act as a liaison between students and administration. So we really want to make sure that our students that we represent, voices are heard. Any issues that occur on campus, we address them. We see what we can fix, how we can better help the problems that Black students are facing. So we want them to be socially successful, academically, mentally, even like helping them find scholarships and internships. We want to be a resource to them.
Love that. Kelsey, how and why did you get involved with BSA?
Why I got involved in BSA? Because I got to Michigan State's campus, and although I love being a Spartan, I saw some very prominent problems that we had on campus, and I wanted to change some of the race relations that I saw. I wanted to be a part of making this an actually more inclusive and diverse campus for all Spartans. I got involved after meeting some people my freshman year. I actually got it's a group called Black Caucus. And it was after some like incidents in my dorm. It was some like really rude racial statements made. And I was like, okay, who can I go to? And they were like Black Student Alliance. And I've been hooked ever since. So I've been dedicated to helping fix some of the problems that we have here.
Yes, I know BSA has had a firsthand in some of the marches and protests that we saw on campus last year. Kelsey, how would you describe race relations here on campus? And how far are we, if they aren't great, how far are we from finding a solution to that quote-unquote problem?
I would say that we are taking steps to find solutions, but in some areas I think we need to make some big leaps. So on campus, I think our communities are kind of very much segregated, and I think being a Black student, I hear the plight of Black students all the time. I hear about them saying how their classmates interact with them, being the only Black student on campus, their professor making racial comments to them or feeling uncomfortable where they live. And we've been trying to fix that. However, like after racial incidents happened on campus this year, this was the first time that President Simon actually made a statement saying that MSU doesn't condone racism, bigotry, sexism, and misogyny on campus. And that was big because that's never been said. So that's one step. But at the same time, just last month, we had Milo Yiannopoulos, who stands against all those things, who's very racist and very sexist and very misogynistic. So it's like in some ways we're being very counterproductive. But I will say this year, I have seen a lot more community interaction or a lot more interactions between other communities. So Black Student Alliance has been talking to Jewish Student Union or the Muslim Student Association or, you know, Asian students on campus. And we've been having a lot of progressive conversations. And also we've been dealing with having more communication between faculty, staff, and students. So we're kind of having some more cross-generational conversations. So I do feel like we are making progress. However, there's still some clear racial problems on campus. For example, Black students, we're graduating at a 59% rate at an average of 6 years in comparison to white students. Or we don't have we have a lack of Black faculty and staff here on campus, and of that, only 4% is tenured. So I really would like to see some immediate changes in that.
Kelsey Horn, president of Black Student Alliance here at Michigan State University. Kelsey, before we dive into the events that you guys are putting on here on this MLK Day, in what way has this year's past election either divided or brought together the campus? What have you seen since this the results of this past year's election?
A little bit what I said earlier. So due to this election, you really saw some ugly stuff. So there were comments spray painted across campus about Muslim students. There was some stuff about some gay students, some of the LGBT community that they felt offended. You saw a lot of Trump supporters on campus, and that's fine. However, after the election, what I did see was beautiful. We saw these communities coming together. There actually was a rally the night of the election. And it was literally thousands of people surrounding the Rock. And it was just like a protest for peace. It wasn't bashing Trump. It was just a group of students coming together to support one another. And I had never seen that on campus. And it gave me so much hope for the future, for our generation, of the progress that we can make, even if we feel that we've been set back.
Love that. Kelsey, before we get you out of here, what have you all been putting on at the Union this morning and now into, of course, the afternoon? What sort of events have been taking place there?
Okay, so we have some service learning projects. So it's some opportunities for people to get involved in the community after this, as well as some people are making signs for the protesters coming up later today. But all morning we have had a series of presentations from leaders on campus to really highlight the things, how they're inspired by Martin Luther King in their own way. And so that has been very inspirational. Right after this, we have a march. It's actually hosted by Alpha Phi Alpha.
Shout out to the Bruss.
Yes, shout out to the Bruss. But so we have a lot going on. So I'm excited for this march. We do it every year. And concluding the day, we have a dinner, and there will be scholarships awarded to people who have shown great leadership in campus and who have been inspired by Dr. King's legacy.
Love that. Kelsey, what sort of events do you guys have planned throughout the rest of the semester when it comes to BSA?
Okay, so we have a Mr. and Mrs. Black MSU pageant, and it's really different than the usual pageant. It's definitely not a beauty contest, but we do have our contestants really show how they're knowledgeable in the community and how they're making active change here on campus. We have concluding Black History Month. We will give out a calendar of things that's going on campus. We will have a get together for Black students, staff, and faculty to kind of fellowship and celebrate our Blackness here on campus. We do have Black Awards, which is kind of awarding all the Black excellence that we have seen throughout the year. And then we, just for people to get involved, we have some town halls and general body meetings that people can reach out to us at.
Kelsey Horn, president of Black Student Alliance at Michigan State University. Again, MLK events happening all throughout this afternoon and, of course, taking place this morning as well at the Michigan State University Union. Kelsey, thanks so much for your time. You're doing a great job.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You got it. All right. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will talk Michigan State sports. It was a rough outing for both the MSU men's and women's basketball teams, as well as for Michigan State hockey. We'll give you an update on that and so much more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Less than 10 minutes left in the show. 517-355-WKAR. Go to Facebook.com/Current Sports. Tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. Quick comment comes from Ben Grimes, another one of our dear listeners. He says, quote, It will be interesting to see if anything comes of the live feed by Antonio Brown last night after the Steelers win over KC. I know if I was Mike Tomlin, I found out about this, I would do something about it. That was totally not cool. It was cool to see Le'Veon Bell up close and personal in the live feed in the locker room by Antonio Brown, though. This guy deserves the attention with the numbers that he has put up this season. I am sure, Isaac, that Mike Tomlin is going to have an interesting talk with Antonio Brown about that video that went viral last night. Just, I mean, certain things you got to keep in-house, especially when it comes to a head coach's speech after a win like that in the NFL playoffs. Social media, this is the problem that we have here in 2017 now, right?
Yeah. Well, if I was Coach Tomlin, I would be furious with Antonio Brown just because that's a direct disobedience of his orders. And like you said, the irony is dripping from the situation to have him later on in the live stream actually say, and let's be careful on social media. But let's make one thing clear. Having called the Patriots a certain word that begins with A is no big deal. I mean,
no,
that's how people talk in a locker room. That is locker room talk.
It's coach speak. It's locker room talk.
You know, that's not too bad. The Patriots aren't going to make that bulletin board material. Tomlin didn't do anything wrong by actually calling the Patriots that. And, you know, Antonio Brown, he was stupid to stream it, but it doesn't change anything for this game that's this upcoming weekend.
No, not at all. There's still Mike Tomlin, I'm sure, has the utmost respect for Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. You better believe that. All right, moving on. Michigan State sports. The Michigan State men's basketball team lost on the road to the Ohio State Buckeyes. Just the second Big Ten loss for Michigan State, which now sits at 4-2 in the conference. And the Michigan State women's basketball team had its two-game win streak halted with a 62-58 loss to Rutgers on Saturday afternoon. And the Michigan State hockey team it's getting bad. Well, it's not getting bad. It's already bad. Really, really bad. The woes of MSU hockey continued this past weekend. The Spartans fell in both games against the number 4 team in the nation in Penn State on Friday and Saturday night. Tom Anastas and his squad has not won since November. Briefly here, because again, we're limited on time, but the Michigan State men's basketball team falling to Ohio State, mad props to Miles Bridges. You know, it seems as though after his mother sent that text to Tom Izzo and her son Bridges, Miles Bridges has come out with the eye of the tiger. He has been fantastic. He was 9 of 12 against Ohio State, 4 of 5 from the three-point line. He finished with 24 points to lead the team, but no other Spartan hit double digits. Yeah, actually, after Bridges, the second highest scorer on the squad was Nick Ward, who played 18 minutes, 3 of 7 from the floor, 9 points. I have so many question marks concerning this team right now because, you know, we Michigan State, this is how sports go, folks. That's what I said. Don't get too crazy. You know, after seeing Michigan State beat Minnesota at home the way they did, you know, this team is so young and they are still trying to find out who they are on the hardwood. It's going to happen, especially on the road. Michigan State has to play better on the road. Simple as that. But consistency is the big thing here. Aaron Harris. Again, I continue to harp on this young man because Aaron is a kid that has so much potential. He's such a good player. But again, he just checks out of games mentally. I don't know where Aaron goes during games at times. He played 13 minutes. He was 3 of 5 from the floor, finished with just 6 points. Aaron Harris, that can't happen. That just can't happen. And now again, I don't want to put all of this on the Michigan State players, because I do believe that, you know, there was a coaching error made early on in this game. Michigan State, if you remember, in this game, they started hot. They were 6 of 6, 7 for 7, I believe, from the floor. And then Tom Izzo decides to make an entire line change, taking out all of the starters, throwing in an entirely different slew of players. Guys like Alvin Ellis, Cassius Winston, you know, going, so on and so forth. But when this team was rolling, Izzo decided to mix it up. and throw in an entirely different plethora of players. And it really hurt the momentum. Now, you saw it didn't directly at first hurt it because Alvin Ellis kept that momentum going. But defensively, was it the same? And offensively, things just slowed down. You know, and Izzo admitted after the game that, you know, maybe that wasn't the right move. 72-67 loss here. Guys have to step up. Aaron Harris, you got to step up. You got to play better than that. Nick Ward, who has started off the year so hot. You know, as the year goes on, scouting becomes better. And when other teams know that you are a threat, they're going to play you differently. And again, Nick Ward has been dealing with the double team better. But there are going to be games where you're going to struggle. And mentally, you have to overcome that hurdle. 3 of 7 for just 9 points. Nick Ward, you got to play better, man. One guy who I've liked and who has seemed to awaken in a way is Josh Langford. Josh, he played 25 minutes. 3 of 8 from the floor, 2 of 4 from the three-point line. Josh Langford's confidence is steadily improving as the year goes on. Two more names I want to throw out. Cassius Winston, 0 of 3 from the floor. He played just 11 minutes. He had just 1 point. Just 1 point. Cassius is hit or miss right now as well. And also, Matt McQuaid, who I believe is the best shooter on the team. He was just 2 of 4 from the floor, 1 of 3 from three-point land. He finished with 5 points. That's not winning basketball, folks. It just isn't. Now, I know it's the Big Ten, and everybody is beating up on each other, and I saw a stat yesterday in which, you know, you look at Big Ten teams who are coming off a loss. You know, I don't have the stat right in front of me, so I won't quote the exact numbers, but teams are over in the Big Ten, over 500 when coming off a loss, but clearly below 500 after coming off a win. It's hard to win back-to-back games in this conference. Michigan State has the potential, though. But guys have to play better. Less than a minute left here in the show. On tomorrow's Current Sports, we're going to dive into what is happening with the Michigan State hockey team and how hot is the seat for Tom Anastas right now, because it's really, really bad at Munn Ice Arena. We'll dive into that and so much more. I want to give a special thanks to all of our listeners out there and our guest for today's show, Kelsey Horn, president of Black Student Alliance here at Michigan State University. Happy MLK Day. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. Take care. And as always, be easy, people.